It's Wednesday and time for a weekly discussion of the latest in state politics with the Dakota Political Junkies. Joining us today is Jonathan Ellis, reporter and columnist for the Sioux Falls Argus Leader. And Jonathan, thanks for joining the program today.
Hey, thanks for having me, Carl.
Also with us on the line from Rapid City is Mitchell Daily Republic reporter and web editor Denise Ross. And Denise, welcome to the program.
Good to be with you, Carl.
Well, less than a week before Election Day, and there are several new polls that show that Republican Mike Rounds has a comfortable lead over Democrat Rick Wyland in the U.S. Senate race, and Independents Larry Pressler and Gordon Howey as well. One of those polls, the Argus Leader KLO-TV poll, has Rounds leading with 42%, followed by Wyland with 33%, Pressler 13%, and Howey at 2%. There's a 10% undecided. This is a big change from some polls earlier this month, which showed the race much closer. Jonathan, was this race ever as close as those other polls suggested?
Well, you could argue, and what sort of set this all off was, I think, around October 7th or so, there was a Survey USA poll that showed that Rounds was at about 35%, Pressler at 32%, and Wyland at 27%. Very tight race. And I think I've heard some people argue that's an outlier. I know this. I mean, Rounds was clearly fading. There's no doubt about it. I think some of the internal polling showed that he was starting to slip into the high 30s and headed toward the... I mean, he was going in the wrong direction. There's no question about that. And Pressler was ascending. And so I don't think that we can talk about how that's reversed course over the last couple of weeks, but in the beginning of October, after being battered, on a daily basis with, on the EB5 issue, no doubt in my mind that Rounds was heading in the wrong direction.
Denise Ross, what are your thoughts on the way that the polls have seemed to have switched over the past
few weeks? I think what you're seeing is the reason why politicians run negative ads, because after that poll that Jonathan was talking about, that was when the alarm bells went off nationally. The National Republican Senatorial Committee came in, and the money started coming into this race, and the negative ads. Mike Rounds' very first negative ad in his entire political career ran this month, and it turned him around. It stabilized his campaign, and that's why those ads are run, is because they do have an effect, and you can see the effect on Larry Pressler's numbers. About cut in half, it seems like, from some of these recent polls, because he's been the subject of negative attack ads, and he doesn't have the funds to fight back in the same way. So I think that's what you're seeing is how those ads do affect people.
Jonathan Ellis, do you think it was a lot of it had to do with the ads, the attack ads that came out of the past few weeks?
Oh, yeah. No question that was a big contributor. I mean, Denise calls them negative ads. I mean, to some extent, they are a little negative. I mean, they're contrast ads. They're not as dramatically negative as we've seen in years past, elections past. I think of the 2002 Republican primary for governor, in which the two front runners just ran some. Go back and look those up on the internet. They're really funny. They're so bad. But there's no question that the contrast ads that the NRSC set up, and I think in Mike Rounds' campaign responded with a quick contrast ad. And really what he had to do was remind voters that this is an election that, remind voters about the, Obama, that this is are you going to send somebody to Washington, D.C. who supports the president? And if you look at our poll, tying somebody to Barack Obama is very smart in this state, because Barack Obama's favorable rating in our poll is 34%. That's pretty dismal. So by contrasting him with his opponents and saying they're the ones who support the Obama agenda, that's really helpful in reversing his slide.
Well, Denise, with these recent polls in mind, less than a week before the election, does it look now like Mike Rounds will easily win the Senate race?
Well, it looks like he's got a comfortable enough lead. I certainly don't think it's the lead that he was and others were expecting for him to have at this stage of the game. And I think it's still the race to watch, and I still think it's the one that everybody's going to be looking at on election night to see how the numbers do come in, because it has been tight, it's been fluid, there's been a lot of dynamics, and then we've had the national attention. So it's we all thought this was going to be a sleepy election year. It turned out that this race really changed that.
Looking at the race, you know, just looking ahead to Tuesday, Jonathan Ellison, what would it take for Rick Weiland to score an upset?
I think at this point, you know, again, Rick has waged a very hard campaign, and I was talking to a Republican voter yesterday, a West River voter, who said that she was actually going to vote for him because he's come across as so genuine, and that she, you know, in her mind, that's I want somebody who's genuine in Washington D.C. represent. So I mean, he's done what he can with limited resources. I think that you know, short of Mike Rounds being some huge revelation that Mike Rounds was pocketing money or something in this EB-5 deal. I mean, something that there's some kind of smoking gun that Mike Rounds was personally involved in that, and there's no evidence that he was. Nothing has been presented that he has been. You know, Democrats have certainly been hoping to find something like that. But short of something like that, it seems like we're kind of heading into these poll numbers are kind of where we're going to be at somewhere around there on Election Day.
For you, Denise Ross, looking at the EB-5 story, does it look like that is turning out not to be much of an issue for voters in the Senate race?
Well, I don't know if I'd say that. I mean, I'd look at that poll that the Argus and Kello did, and I think it was over half of the respondents said it was either a major issue or somewhat of an issue in their consideration for how they would vote. And again, I think we all expected Rounds would be walking away with this race, certainly over 50%, if not higher, and he's just not there. So and the only thing that, that you can point to really is the EB-5. Stories that have just been continuous in the advertising, it's been continuous.
Now, when we look at these polling results, whether it's the Argus Leader Kello poll, the other ones that have come out over the past few weeks, Jonathan Ellis, what impact do you think they have on voters? I think we were talking about the impact that they had on money and the ads, but what impact do you think they have on voters?
Well, typically... tight poll numbers motivate voters to get out and vote. I mean, they feel like their vote's going to count more. I think that if you're, for example, if you're a Democrat and you have you know that Rick Weiland is way down in the polls, you might just be too busy to vote that day. Or likewise, I mean, sometimes sometimes the front runners get worried too that our voters are going to get too complacent; they're not going to go out and vote. So. Going into Election Day, a tight race, if polls are showing something that's really neck and neck, I mean, that's really where campaigns can use that as leverage to gin up excitement and get their people out to vote.
Do you think, Jonathan, that they then affect a candidate momentum too then, with candidates, or the voters deciding not to support them, going out and vote if there's not that tight race that we were seeing a couple of weeks ago?
Yeah, I mean, campaigns try to use vote. I mean, they'll release their own polls that often paint them in a very favorable light, and that's an attempt, I think, at times to sort of change the narrative or help that. We don't typically report those polls just because we have no way of verifying the polling that was done. But the campaigns frequently will do that, release those kinds of numbers in an attempt to motivate voters.
Denise Ross, do you see polling results having an impact on voters?
Well, I know they do. I mean, I've talked to people out here, some of them Democrats, some of them Republicans, and they're definitely going to vote because they're watching this race. And the Democrats have said, wow, I just feel like my vote's actually going to matter in this race. And that was when the polls were a little tighter than they are today, but I still think people are energized and engaged in this race.
When we were talking about ads, it looks like there are reports now that Democrats are scaling back their ad plans. And then sort of connected with that, on Monday, Rick Weiland had an interesting accusation against the Democratic Senatorial Campaign Committee of sabotaging his campaign with their ads attacking Mike Rounds. He says that those ads backfired and they've hurt him, and he even said that they were deliberately trying to boost the campaign of Larry Pressler. Jonathan Ellis, does this seem like a rather wild charge from Rick Weiland?
No, I don't think so.
No?
I think, again, going back to that Survey USA poll, that it showed Pressler being pretty close. And, Pressler had also been in Washington, D.C., and there was some speculation that maybe he might have, this is just speculation here, wild speculation, that maybe he would have cut a deal maybe would have cut a deal to caucus with the Democrats if, in fact, they could get him over the top. Now, to do that, it required some more negative ads against Mike Rounds, and that's what the DSCC pledged to do, was to beat him down. You know, notice they didn't come in on and help out Rick Weiland. They came in to beat up on Mike Rounds, and I think that was an attempt to try to get Pressler over the top. I mean, this is the theory. This would have been an attempt to try to get Pressler over the top. There was potentially a deal that had been made that Pressler would then caucus with the Democratic Party, and so I don't think Rick Weiland is. I don't think that that's an entirely baseless charge on his part.
Denise Ross, what do you think about the sort of the controversy with those ads that Rick Weiland is having?
Yeah, I don't think Rick Weiland is off base. And if you recall, there has been a feud over Rick's candidacy from the very early days between Tom Daschle, our former senator, and Rick's former boss, and Tom's former really close friend, Harry Reid, who's now the majority leader in the Senate. Harry Reid did not want Rick Weiland to run. He was looking for probably Stephanie Hirsa-Sandlin to run. And when Rick got in, that kind of skewed the whole picture. And, you know, it's been covered in the national press and somewhat in the state press that Reid and Daschle feuded, you know, had a falling out at that time and are still, according to some reports, they're still at it, not happy with each other. And so it would be entirely plausible to me that Harry Reid, who has a lot of control over what the DSCC does with their money, would come in here and try to get Larry Pressler over the top and not Rick Weiland because of that history.
Yeah, if that scenario is correct, it's really kind of interesting how it worked out. You have the national Democrats potentially trying to boost Pressler, but you got local Democrats going after Pressler. You've got PACs that were supporting Weiland going after Pressler. Then you have Rounds. I mean, it was really kind of an interesting dynamic.
And then Weiland has said that he would vote against Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid. So that adds fuel to the fire there.
There you go.
There's the latest Survey USA poll I see here has Rounds at 43% now, Weiland 32, and Pressler 19. There's also the Rasmussen report, Rounds 45, Weiland 31, Pressler 21. So the numbers are kind of in line there. Jonathan Ellis, are we going to see any more polls before the election day?
Oh, I would not be surprised. I mean, there are still some. There are still some political action committees that are looking at where to make their last-minute investments, and are they going to put some money into the state if it looks like Rounds is sort of pulling too far in front. They may want to look at some other investment investment. Yeah, I'm using that word kind of not quite the right way, but investment opportunities in some other campaigns that might be closer. Whether or not we'll see. I mean, there's certainly going to be polling. I mean, because there are a lot of organizations with a lot of money have to decide how to spend that money in the closing days.
Going back to the EB-5 issue, Denise Ross, do you think that'll still be a hot topic after the election?
Oh, I think it will, especially since we've seen the FBI tell Kello News that they still have an active investigation going into that. I've been telling people whatever their timeline is, if they're going to be handing out indictments or whatever they're going to do, they've kind of already set their timeline, and the rest of us just have to sit and wait. For them to follow through on that. I get the strong impression that, you know, if they're saying that publicly, which they could have said months earlier and they hadn't, that they've got something more to come. I mean, that's just my impression, and so I think that's going to happen after the election. Exactly when, we all get to wait.
Yeah, what do you think happens, Jonathan, with the EB-5 after the election?
I fully expect there to be more information that will come out after the election, probably fairly soon after the election. I also suspect that if there hasn't already been, there will be a complaint filed of some kind against, in the Justice Department, against the FBI or something for this, what some people would acknowledge was sort of an interesting admission by the FBI right up before this election that there is an ongoing investigation. So I think that there'll be a couple different things going on with regard to EB-5.
There was we get a question from a listener wondering what happens if Rounds wins and something comes out after the election. Anything? I mean, could that have any impact, Denise?
Well, certainly, depending on, of course, on what it is. But if it's serious and it involve Mike Rounds in an illegal or unscrupulous way. You know, the Senate has an ethics committee. Now, you can argue about their record and how aggressive they are, but that committee's there. And of course, members, I mean, I'm not saying that this is the case with Mike Rounds, but members of Congress have gone to prison before, so that's not out of the question. Just because he's a senator, that could still happen. Again, back to what Jonathan said earlier, there's no evidence that we have at this time that there was any illegal activity by Mike Rounds. And so we don't know, and we won't know until, as we just said, the Justice Department and the FBI does what they're going to do. We won't know how extensive it's going to be. But I certainly think having gone through this gauntlet this summer, and as he heads to Capitol Hill, this is going to overshadow him. And I think everybody that was watching this race, just like us in South Dakota, suddenly knows what EB-5 is, where nobody really knew before.
Jonathan?
Well, what would happen to him? Yeah, I mean, it would be serious problems. As Denise says, I mean, there's an ethics committee that deals with those kinds of things. I'll make this point, and some people will scoff at it immediately. You know, Attorney General Marty Jackley said back in November that Mike Rounds was not a target of his investigation. Now, some people would say, well, of course, because Marty Jackley's got appointed by Rounds and they're buddy Republicans, whatever. I understand that. But, I mean, I guess you have to have a little trust in our law enforcement authorities. Now, the only thing different I would say is that it's potential that, you know, potentially a federal investigation is looking at something entirely different. We may have than what Marty Jackley looked at. I mean, we have no idea what potentially the federal, what that, quote, open investigation is. It could be something that has nothing to do with Northern Beef. So, you know, it's just hard to know right now.
Well, there are other election races, other races next week, and according to the Argus Leader KELO TV polls, the incumbents in strong positions, Republican Congresswoman Kristi Noem, Governor Dennis Dugard, both with comfortable leads. Are Susan Wismer and Karina Robinson having trouble getting their names out there, getting recognition from voters, Denise?
Well, I think those are two very different campaigns. You know, Karina Robinson has struggled. She's had a lot of staff turnover and just never really launched, as we've talked on this program before. Just never really got her campaign off the ground. And yet you see her doing better than Susan Wismer, who's been really working her tail off out on the campaign trail with a very focused, specific message based on her experience in the legislature. And I think my theory, and I'd be interested to hear what Jonathan thinks about this, is that Kristi Noem has really matured as a congressperson, as a candidate, in her three terms in office, I guess what we're expecting to be her third. But her negatives have been high from early on. And so Karina Robinson is in the high 30s, I think. And I attribute that not to anything Karina has done, but just still that lingering negative perception of Kristi Noem and her high negatives. And as far as the governor's race, you know, Susan Wismer has a very focused message, but it comes across a little bit, you know, not friendly, and there's not humor injected into her message. And I think that would serve her well and take her quite a long way, because she does have some very valid policy issues to discuss and disagreements that she has with Dennis Dugard, who is probably doing the best of any statewide candidate in this race this year.
And Jonathan, your thoughts on those races?
First, I would agree with Denise entirely that I think Karina Robinson is the recipient in some respect of what, you know, Kristi Noem was a polarizing figure, for, you know, knocking off a very popular incumbent, and then, you know, having to run a negative race to some extent last year to fend off a challenge. So I agree that Karina Robinson is a recipient of that. But, you know, when you look at her, when you look at the number of voters that don't recognize in our poll, 49% don't recognize Karina Robinson, 36% don't recognize Susan Wismer. You have to have, I mean, people hate to hear this, but you've got to raise money, and you've got to have an advertising campaign, and you've got to be able to get, you know, in front of voters that way. It's not just going out on the campaign trail. You've got to actually raise money and inject yourself into people's living rooms. And then those two just have not been able to do that. Susan, you know, managed to raise about $244,000 in this last reporting period. You know, but that compares to the governor, you know, that's just, you know, way short. So, money has been a big factor, I think, for both of them.
Well, that'll have to do it for the Dakota Political Junkies this week. Next time we chat, we'll know the results of the election. Jonathan, thanks so much for taking the time to talk with us.
Thank you, Carl.
And Denise, thanks for joining the program as well.
Thank you, Carl.